Father, we thank you. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for the privilege of being called your own. Father, breathe upon this service this morning. We ask that not one person will leave here the same way they have come. Be glorified, be honored, and be adored. In Jesus' precious name. Go on ahead and give the Lord a praise, people. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord in the voice of triumph. And please be seated. Hallelujah. I bring you all greetings from Kingston, Jamaica, and also from Houston, Texas, where we had meetings this week, and we believe that there's not one of us who will be the same. We'll receive the overflow from those meetings in Jesus' name. Very, very intense preaching. Teaching was very, very powerful. And then the miracles. Well, this morning, I'll be speaking on the blessedness of prayer. This is part two. Our objective is twofold. First of all, is understanding how prayer blesses people. And number two, is understanding keys to experiencing the blessedness of prayer. Genesis 32 from verse 24 to verse 28. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the dread breaketh. And he said, I will not let it go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Somebody say aloud, amen. By way of introduction, it is important to note that the lifestyle of prayer is a pathway to the blessing. The lifestyle of prayer is a channel of the blessing. To know what it means to pray is to know the blessing. Just now we have two examples which we'll see in this service. Example number one is Jacob. Jacob was the man who wrestled with God at the place of prayer until the blessing was imparted on him. I will not let you go until you bless me. At the place of prayer, the blessing was enforced. For someone here today, at the place of prayer, I see the enforcement of the blessing on your life in the name of Jesus. Example number two, Daniel. Daniel was the man who was ready to dare the lions. In Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 10, he saw the decree was sealed and he went and prayed as at other times. And you can confirm that Daniel remains one of the most blessed persons that existed in the Persian Empire. The place of prayer is the place of the blessing. Now, how does prayer bless people? We're going to look at the same points we saw in the first service, except that we look at separate scriptures and probably separate illustrations. Number one, prayer positions people in the presence of God. And we said, the presence of God gives us access to the fullness of joy and pleasures. Prayer positions people in the presence of God. And that presence of God grants access to fullness of joy and pleasures. How do we see prayer positioning people? Genesis 19:27. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. The place of prayer is the place where men stand before the Lord. He positions people in the presence of the Lord. Now, in addition to what I said in the first service, in this second service, it's important to note as well that the presence of God is the answer to stress, to the stress and the needs of man. The presence of God is the answer to the stress and the needs of man. In Exodus 33 verse 14, he said, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. You are not permitted to be under stress, to be under pressure, to be tensed up in his presence. In John chapter 2, from verse 1 all the way to verse 5, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus was there and there was no wine. Now, it is not possible for Jesus to be there. It's not possible for God to be there and something is lacking. It's not possible. It's not possible. The presence of God is the answer to the needs of man, is the answer to the stress of man. And prayer positions you in the presence of God. That is very, very critical. Number two, prayer envelops our lives with the fragrance of divine favor. And the fragrance of favor pulls additions into our lives. The place of prayer is the place of favor. And that favor attracts additions. Esther prayed and was favored. And favor brings additions. Acts 2:47. They were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the people such as should be saved. But there is more. In the first service, we saw the example of Esther. In the second service, we see the example of Daniel. Daniel, the man of prayer, became the man that was greatly beloved of the Lord. Prayer makes a man the beloved of the Lord. You are the beloved of the Lord. When you decide to live the life of prayer. In Daniel chapter 9 verse 23, the Bible calls Daniel, he said, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. The man of supplication is the man greatly beloved. The man who knows how to pray is the man who is greatly beloved of God. For thou art greatly beloved. In Daniel chapter 10 verse 11 and also verse 19, again the word beloved. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the word that I speak unto thee and stand upright. A man greatly beloved, verse 19, Daniel, and said, O man greatly beloved, when you are addicted to the place of prayer, You effortlessly become the beloved of the Lord. And when you are the beloved of the Lord, the Bible says you dwell between his shoulders. Deuteronomy 33 and in verse 12. And of Benjamin, he said, 33 and in verse 12. 3:3, 1:2. And of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long. Cover him from shame. Cover him from lack. Cover him from scarcity. And he shall dwell between the shoulders of the Lord. He shall dwell in a place where he knows no lack. He shall dwell in a place where he knows no danger. Because he's the beloved of the Lord. Hallelujah. I see so many people stepping into the realm where you will know no shame. You will know no lack. You will know no scarcity. Can somebody say louder, amen? What is more, he said, when a man's ways pleases the Lord. Was that Proverbs 16 and in verse 7? He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways pleases the Lord. When a man's ways, when you become the beloved of the Lord. By the virtue of prayer. Those who don't like you are forced to like you. Those who won't give you anything are forced to give it to you. That shall be your portion. Beloved, you don't struggle for favor when you are a man or a woman of prayer. You don't struggle for favor. You don't struggle for attractiveness from men or people when you are a man of prayer. That's number two. Prayer envelops our lives with the fragrance of favor. Number three. Prayer breaks evil and satanic spells of limitations or curses over our lives, enforcing the blessing. There are things on the lives of people that prevent the blessing. Curses, ancestral curses, generational curses, family curses, occultic forces. But at the place of prayer, you crack those powers. You break those powers. That was what Jacob did, where we read in Genesis 32 and in verse 24 to verse 28. Jacob was successful to some extent, but he was successful with struggle. Everything he got was with a fight. He became the second, but he was fighting to come out. He married with a struggle, 14 years of hard labor to marry wife. Nobody pays such dowry. How many of you labored for 14 years before you married your wife? If the case be so, how many people will marry? He labored. He struggled. Laban changed his salary 10 times. Things were happening, but they were happening with struggles. So on this particular day, he said, Lord, I want to come to the end of my struggle. And he wrestled all the way. Let me go. He said, I won't let you go until you bless me. Until this matter is broken. Until this cycle is broken. Until this pattern is broken. And at the place of prayer, the evil pattern was broken. And he said, from today, you are no longer Jacob, you have become Israel. And you are not a prince, you have prevailed. You are not going to continue to travail, you have prevailed. What used to defeat you, defeat it now. Hey! I announce to somebody here today, before this month is over, what defeated you before, you shall defeat it. What prevented the fullness of the breakthrough in your life shall be broken by the power of God. At the place of prayer this month, what has been your limitation shall be broken by his power. You believe it, shout the loudest, amen. It breaks evil and satanic spells of limitation or curses over our lives, enforcing the blessing of God. Number four, prayer brings about an enlargement. Enlarges our lives and capacities, eliminates the narrowness of life. Of course, we said that that definitely was the story of Jacob as a prince. Your name shall be called no more Jacob, like we have always said. Jacob is the name of a person. Israel is the name of a nation. Even though individuals bear Israel, but Israel is a nation. There is a nation called Israel. There is no nation called Jacob. Right? Israel is a nation. I shift you from individual existence to institutional existence. I enlarge your capacity. From today forward, you are no longer just a person. You have become a nation. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? There are so many of us here today. What God wants to do with you is beyond what an individual can do. What God wants to do with your life is beyond what the whole of your village can do. In all humility and with all due respect, I don't know how many people in my village can donate money to do all that is happening all over the world. Who of you bring 10 naira, 1,000? Donate. Let's build a house for God. Donate. Let's go to Pakistan for crusade and take no offering there. No. God wants some of you here today. God wants to do something in your life that even the whole of your state, the whole of your state, the whole of your region wouldn't be able to dare it. That was what he did for Jacob. You are no longer a person. You have become a nation. And I announce today, whatever is limiting your capacity, whatever is restraining your capacity, whatever is restraining your enlargement, today I declare it is broken. They are broken. If you are saying amen, say it louder, amen. If you are saying amen, say it louder, amen. Lift your hand, say, I'm going to pray. Say, I am going to pray. I will pray. I shall pray. I must pray. Give the Lord the praise and take your seat. That was number four. Number five, prayer connects the child of God with divine or supernatural supplies. The place of prayer is the place of supernatural supplies. Matthew 6:11 says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, if you look at Matthew 7:11, it said, alright, start from about verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. You see, the place of prayer is the place where you ask and you receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you? If your son will ask you bread, will you give him stone? Must be a wicked father. This one is even wickeder. If he asks for fish, will you give him snake? This one is wickeder than the other one. The one that gave the stone is in a better case than the one that gave snake instead of fish. He said that if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So your father in heaven expects your asking and he is committed to the giving. And that happens at the place of prayer. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. How much more shall your heavenly father give good things? The other day I was looking at certain things that I wrote down that will be needed to make us do the things we need to do. And I was looking at the things written down. And I realized that none of it is a prayer point. Just written down, okay, this would be necessary, this would be necessary, this would be necessary in order to get things done. Do you understand what I'm talking about? How much more shall your heavenly father? The practice of the covenant being a constant. If you are not a giver, you may end as a beggar. If you are not a giver, destiny may end like a beggar. By the time you have done all you need to do, and the devil is still sitting on what is yours, you say, Kai, devil, I have paid my dues. I have fulfilled all righteousness. He said, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is complete. Satan, my obedience is complete. In my covenant practices and the things I need to do, you can't disobey me. I declare the release of what is mine now. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. I declare the release of what is mine now. I declare the release of what is mine now. I declare the release of what is mine now. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. It's a place of supply. It's a place of supply. There are things that even before you ask, Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, it shall come to pass. But before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will answer. That shall be your story. Say a lot of amen. Number 5. Or is it 6? Prayer avails us of divine guidance unto abundance and supplies. Especially the prayer of inquiry. What is the meaning of that? The Lord knows the place where my supply is. All I need to do is to hear from him. The Lord knows the place where my supply is. All I need to do is to hear from him. Say it in Nigerian vernacular. The Lord knows the place where my money is. All I need to do is to hear from him. Peter, go to the sea. Drop the net, the hook. The first fish that comes out, open his mouth. Go to the widow of Zarephath. Your supply is there. All by virtue of the prayer of inquiry. As a matter of fact, the place of prayer can be the place of restoration. What the enemy took from you, how to get it back. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, when the Amalekites came and hit David, shall I pursue, verse 6, 7, 8, will I? And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day. No, I said verse 6 to 7. Finish that. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek said, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord. That's the prayer of inquiry. Lord saying, shall I pursue after this trip? Shall I overtake them? And he answered unto him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. By the time you jump to verse 19:20, and David recovered all, and David recovered all, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them, David recovered all. I declare to someone today, before this month of prayer is over, that which the enemy took from you, God will give you the direction on how to recover them. Where your resources are, God will show you how to recover them. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. God will give you direction on how to recover them. Shout the loudest amen. Give the Lord the praise. And finally, number 7. Prayer releases divine influence on human effort, yielding drastic results. Divine influence on human effort. What is the meaning of this? While we were in medical school, we told ourselves, study like everything depended on studying alone, and pray like everything depended on praying alone. And that was, and it worked for me. It worked for us. I remember going in for my part 2 finals, what they may call the 5th MB now, medicine and surgery. And I had a group of people that we read together. The Lord led me to revise certain questions. We had 6 questions. 5 of what we had revised is what we met in the exam. 5 out of 6. That is, you dealt with all of it. You finished it. Then you saw them on the paper. Allah, Allah. Right. Paper. Right. Paper. While others are sweating on the nose. You know, there is one thing to sweat, but when they sweat, it's on the nose. It's a major issue. For it flow to the nose here. Yeah. When you see a surgeon doing surgery and it's on the nose. Hallelujah. God breathing on the effort. That was what we saw in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11 concerning Samuel's mother. She had been going to Shiloh, but this time around, she asked God to breathe upon her effort. Lord, I'm tired of coming without result. And God breathed upon that effort, and it produced the result. How many of you remember Jephthah the Gileadite? Jephthah wanted to go for war, and he prayed. He prayed and prayed with a vow. Judges chapter 11, verse 30 to 31. Lord, I'm going for battle. If you shall without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's. I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Anything. If he had said, any beast, any animal, if he had said, deliver the people into my hands, I will be yours, I'll hand over. Whatever he said at that point, God would have answered. But critical thing is, Jephthah got victory because he tied his effort to the help of God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? When you step into business and you don't just step into business like that. I know of businessmen in this church connected to this ministry. Don't play with their. One told me, he said, the hours of 7 to 10 a.m. every Monday, 3 hours, is prayer and study of the word to prepare for the week. And then step into the week and experience billions. No phone call can interrupt that hour. No business, not from presidents, not from anywhere. Those are sacred hours. And he explodes. Continuous basis. Prayer causes your effort to blossom. You take one step, you get the result of 10 steps. You make an effort, you see massive effects by the reason of God's influence. I believe it's a new day for somebody. You are that person, say a louder amen. What are the keys to experiencing the blessedness of prayer? If I want to see the blessing of God at the place of prayer, the keys are twofold. Pray with faith and conviction. Don't pray like you are guessing. Don't pray like it may happen, it may not happen. Pray with faith and conviction. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Pray with faith and conviction. And secondly, pray with desperation. And passion. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. James chapter 5 verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer. Pray with desperation. Pray with fire. Pray with passion. Like they say in Nigeria, in Africa, pray like tomorrow, no day. Pray like you're not ready to take no for an answer. And when you are at such a realm, results must happen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody shout a louder believer, say amen. Very quickly, let me give you a very, very important note. When it comes to the blessing, God, after all is said and done, the blessing of God travels in the direction of those who are willing to be blessings to their generation. God will bless you to the capacity of your willingness to be a blessing to your world. The capacity of your willingness. So that you don't say, if we pray, we are blessed. The truth is, if you have prayed and you are not willing to be a blessing to your generation, God won't fulfill one word and break another word. Did you hear what I just said? God will not try to fulfill a promise and break another one. He said, I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. That is, you are the one that will determine to what extent I can bless you. If you are going to be a blessing, I will bless you. Show me that you are a blessing, and I will show you that I am a blesser. Did you hear what I just said? God is saying to you, show me that you are a blessing, and I will show you that I am a blesser. Blessing. How many souls will go to heaven because of money that God gave you? I'd like you to think of it. How many souls will make heaven because God made you a rich man? If it ended with only cars to buy, houses to buy. My wife and I were talking with some people the other day, and we're hearing about how many plots of land, how many this and that, and how many that. And we looked at ourselves. I said, our realm seems to be different from this. Our emphasis and realm seem to be millions upon millions and multiplied millions flowing like water into soul winning, into churches planting. Wow. How many churches will be established because you have money? One day they came to tell me that a church was about to be, a particular church was meeting in a place for lease or rent, and they want to sell the church, the building where they are already holding church, and they don't have the money to buy the building. And people of another religion want to buy the building and turn it to their place of worship. When I heard that, I said, not in our own lifetime, not while we are alive. How much is the money? And they told us, and we paid the money to buy the church for another church. I don't know the pastor till today. I don't need to know him. I'm not interested in knowing him. The current chairman of that state was the one who sent us the message. He said, the pastor is appreciated. I said, you should appreciate God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? How many churches will be planted because you got money? How many orphans and widows? How many scholarships will be established? People are going to school because God gave you money. That is what will determine how far God can go with you. We traveled from here to America. I was telling the Americans yesterday, I said, mega sacrifice brought us here. You heard it when I was telling them. Mega sacrifice. When they say morning session, that is 10 a.m. That 10 a.m., that is morning session plus 6. That's 4 p.m. here in Nigeria. And then we end by about 7. And then we return back for evening session. That evening session is night vigil. So we're doing in Jamaica and America, we're doing night vigil on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday. When we say we have finished the meeting by 11 there, we finish by 10. That 10 is already 4 a.m. here. By the time we reach the airport by 1 a.m., that 1 a.m. is 7 a.m. of Saturday morning in Nigeria. And I told them, I said, we are not going to the airport to look for plane, to say, oh, which plane is going to Where is he stopping next? We are going to an airport to meet a plane that is waiting. That is the sacrifice that brought us here. And we didn't come here to ask you for money. You took yourself to Pakistan like that. With such financial sacrifices plus risk. In the afternoon of the second day, we couldn't go out of the hotel. We couldn't. We are not security clear to step out. Not just that you cannot go, not just that if you go out, you are on your own. You are not allowed, you can't go out. I was talking with one pastor the other day when we went from Maiduguri to Pakistan. I was talking to one pastor the other day. I said, when would you go to Gombe for crusade and Kebbi and Maiduguri? He said, that one now for only you. He said, our own and Lagos we do. Lagos, Port Harcourt, Abuja. He was laughing. He said, now only you go fit go Kebbi, go Gombe, Maiduguri, Pakistan. Our own and Lagos we do. Lagos, Abuja, Port Harcourt. Hallelujah! And I found it very funny because he was very sincere. He's very sincere. We are like, say, Paul, now only you go that side. Only you, they do that one. You know where our own day now? Praise the Lord. And so when you see favor, when you see blessing, when you see all these things, when you see it, you don't struggle for it. You just prove to God that you are a blessing. He will prove to you that he is a blesser. Say amen.